But given that we've had so many hideous, unhinged headlines today, it might be nice to be reminded of one that was from a gentler context, an altogether warmer, unhinged headline. But we did it properly.
Unhinged headline.
Her time has come. Did Mondrian owe his success to a cross-dressing lesbian artist who lived in a Cornish cove? And because I am very hilarious, I am naturally very funny, I pretended that that was going to be a phone-in. So I did. Her time has come. Did Mondrian owe his success to a cross-dressing lesbian artist who lived in a Cornish cove? And then I went, 0345-6060-973. Call me now. Which was a hilarious joke. But someone did call. And unfortunately, our assistant producer, Rebecca, thought that it was either a prank caller or a weirdo who described themselves as Stu in London and wanted to come on air to explain that indeed Mondrian did owe much of his success to a cross-dressing lesbian artist who lived in a Cornish cove. The British artist was called Marlo Moss. Somewhat more surprisingly, the Stu in London who rang in good faith to make this case was actually the best comedian in the country, Stuart Lee.
Thank
I can only apologise.
It's all right. Well, it would have seemed strange, but Lamorna, which is the cove in question, was a brilliant haven for female artists of the 20th century. Marlo Moss, as you say, was there with Gluck, the surrealist, who was an heir to the Lion's Cake fortune, a real pioneer. Laura Knight, who was the first woman ever to paint a female nude and painted it in Lamorna. And then a little bit later, Aethel Colquhoun, who I just did some of the voiceovers for the app for the Tate's Aethel Colquhoun retrospective. And I wrote the introduction to the last edition, but one of her autobiography, the Living Stones. Next year, I published a guided walk to the artist's residences in Lamorna in Weird Walk magazine, which you can find online.
Oh, yes.
And later this year, I'm doing a documentary with Radio 4 with the folk singer Daisy Rickman, where we walk around Lamorna and look at the artist's hideout. So actually, not only is that true, but it's an absolutely fascinating place. And if you do a little bit of reading before you get there, the whole place comes to life in three dimensions.
Absolutely magical. Next time we see Stu in London on the switchboard, we're going to put you straight to air.
Yeah, but what's the thin line between going, do you know who I am?
And the people I know.
No, well, we don't. Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's all right.
Anyway,
for people who haven't seen Stuart Lee's live show, you've just had an introduction to the ease with which he encompasses an incredible range of subjects and depth of knowledge. But of course, the central thrust is politics. I mean, it is, or at least current affairs.
Yeah, well, increasingly. And people, this current show, right, I started it about a year and a bit ago, and Stuart Lee versus a Man Wolf. And it was about the idea that the discourse in politics and comedy and entertainment and journalism is being taken over by belligerent authoritarian bullies. And at the time when I started it, I could see people going, well, it's not that bad. And I've just had 2 months off it.
Yeah.
I've got to reboot it for the next 9 months. And now it's not bad enough. You know, I need to ramp up. In the second half, I become a sort of right-leaning American libertarian werewolf stand-up comedian who would love Trump and Charlie Kirk and all that sort of thing. And really, I need to go through it because the things that that character is saying at the moment are not as awful as the things that are being said.
You get overtaken by reality.
Overtaken by reality.
Which again, you could be forgiven. Well, I don't think we did see it coming, did we?
No.
You presume that you've reached close to the bottom.
Yeah.
And then they dig another basement.
Yeah, but what we've got to accept is that all those things where people say he doesn't mean it is that he does mean it. And what I don't understand, and what I want to try and talk about in the show, is like in December, Trump said that American foreign policy was now to destabilize European democracies and use propaganda and funding to put far-right governments in place. And we just kind of carried on as if that...
Oh, don't worry about what he says, worry about what he does.
But now he's shown that's not enough. He's threatening military action to do exactly that. And so really we need to act like we're in a war, and we need to stop the fact that Palantir controls all our military information. And I'm going to make that idea hilarious whilst wearing a werewolf costume
and a prosthetic penis. That's not a spoiler, is it?
I hope. No, not really.
It's in a lot of the reviews. It has been mentioned. I've seen it twice, and I was wondering when I saw that you were coming back. First for a good stretch at the Alexandra Palace.
Yeah, 2 weeks in February.
From the 3rd of February. I did wonder how much of a change you will make. So is it tinkering at the edges, or do you sit down with it?
I think the beginning of the first half, where I sort of set up what's happening in the world, will need to be Because when I wrote it 12 months ago, a thing people thought was funny was that Keir Starmer was a bit boring. You know, how long ago is that now that we're in this crisis? So I need to set that up differently. And then the second half, really, where there are these variety of types of American voices or of right-leaning libertarian voices, needs to be ramped up. But Trump's given me some great lines, like, the only constraint is my own morality. I think it's a really funny one that you can drop in. It's sort of like, like when a comedian would do a bad taste joke and go, it's just a joke, I'm only joking. The only constraint is my own morality is a really great sort of uptown, upscaled version of that. So it's just looking at what he says, really. And I think the weird thing is, some shows you worry that they're running away from you. I had one on the go for a couple of years about Brexit and Boris, and the whole plot line was about that, and it kept looking like he was going to be sacked or quit. And every time he wasn't sacked and didn't quit, I was sort of punching the air because I still had another 3 months of the tour. And that, whereas this one, the current affairs have rushed towards it, and I think people will find it comforting at the very least.
I do.
There is a terrible sense that no one's really talking about this, you are, but yeah, most people aren't talking about it in a drastic enough way.
You do find people deriving great comfort just from the knowledge that they're not going mad, and other people are seeing things as clearly as they are. And there's a lot of us. It's just that we're not very well represented in the sort of high-profile platform.
Well, most of the headlines this morning are about the internal disputes of the Beckham family.
Yes, yes.
You know, which is
we may have done half an hour on that yesterday, okay, Stuart, right. So, you know, keep it.
Yeah, okay, but yesterday...
It's a living.
Yesterday...
Yes, okay.
Was a different... You know, yesterday seems a million years away already, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Which actually makes me wonder, because you're talking as if you're about to revise the show, or you're about to rewrite the show, and I just double checked the dates. So it's January the 21st, and you're on stage at the Ali Bally on Tuesday the 3rd.
Yeah.
But you can't do it last night because he's about to speak. Well, you couldn't do it yesterday because he did the White House, and then you couldn't do it today because he's about to go to that. So when are you going
to
do it?
You have to keep it right. For a show like this, like 2 hours about an idea, you have to have spaces in it where you can land what's happened, right? But without dismantling the whole infrastructure of it. But people love that, like a thing from last night's news or today's news that seems to blend into the whole thing.
Yeah.
is really exciting, and it's really exciting to do, to be out in front of audiences of thousands of people and doing something for the first time is really counterintuitive. It's not what we do, really. We tend to work stuff out and tryouts and whatever, so it's really exciting. But I think, you know, it's a special time. It really calls for a direct address to what's going on. It's just lucky that I chose to do this thing, and the world has got rapidly worse, exactly in line with the concept of the show.
So it's not a moment to feel sorry for comics or satirists, this show, because actually the point you chose to go in on, or the entry points that you chose, have got bigger and bigger.
They've
and bigger in a
bigger,
way,
yeah.
Not smaller and smaller.
And they've got more impact, and people are more desperate to hear about them. And I mean, what I'm surprised about today in PMQs is that really we're in a massive international crisis, and we should be on a war footing where the politicians aren't arguing amongst themselves, and they're going to go, what are we going to do about this? And I think it's a strange situation, both here and in the States, where on some level the public look to comedians and satirists for at least commentary, if not answers. You know, because they're not getting it from the normal sources.
Yes, although I always have that quote of Peter Cook's in the back of my mind about what a great job the cabaret artist of the Weimar Republic did in stopping the rise of the Nazis.
I know. Although at least they tried.
Yes, well, at least at least you try. Because Mark Twain came back, I think, or not came back, but Mark Twain at a previous age said something about that if they're being laughed at, they'll fall apart. He had something about how these kind of characters, these narcissistic monsters, fear mockery and hatred more than mockery and comedy
I think a lot of Trump's vengeance is driven by the idea that people find him ridiculous and wants to punish them for it. You know, and that email he sent about the Nobel Prize, for example, is just like, an infant has been given a nuclear arsenal. You know, it's really mad.
Nothing can stand against laughter. is what Twain.
Did you just say that?
No, I just looked it up.
You looked it up.
I'm passing it off as mine. It was Mark Twain.
Yeah.
And I'll get the flipping Peter Cook quite right as well, because it's a good one. Those wonderful Berlin cabarets, which did so much to stop the rise of Hitler and prevent the outbreak of the Second World War. But you see something like that email, the text message to the Prime Minister of Norway. Do you do what I do? Do you have to double check? You still think that can't be real?
You have to double check, particularly now where a lot of things that are AI generated that pop up on the internet, you assume are ludicrous. But a lot of the street demonstrations in the States have kind of countered authoritarianism with surrealism, with people turning up in crazy costumes and stuff and trying to make a carnival-esque atmosphere. So you often can't quite tell what's going on. It's only going to get worse.
You're spending the best part of the year now with Stuart Lee versus the Man Wolf.
Yeah.
What I mean, I know you can't answer this question substantively, but the show, by the time you finish off in Chelmsford at the end of November, of November, how different will that show be for people who don't watch much live comedy or follow you particularly? How different will that show?
It depends how different the world is.
It's that simple.
It depends how different the world is, yeah. And I mean, it's weird because the more chaotic it gets, the funnier it will be, and I will profit from that like a horrible vulture circling over the rotting corpse of international relations as they decompose.
Good for business, bad for the soul.
That's right, yeah.
There it is. Stuart Lee, at the Alexandra Palace, as I say, from Tuesday the 3rd of February, and then on the road. You can get the full details at stuartlee.co.uk. Can they get tickets there as well?
Yes, in fact, make sure you go there and don't get scalped by anyone.
So go direct to source. Go to the organ grinder, Stuart Lee. lwe.co.uk versus the Man Wolf. I say break a leg.
Thanks.
But not a prosthetic penis. It's 12:45.